Radio Prague News. The Czech EU presidency and the European Commission have called for the immediate resumption of Russian natural gas supplies to Europe. Czech Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg, who is leading an EU fact-finding mission to the Middle East, says a ceasefire in Gaza may take a few days to arrange. And Czech officials have presented the priorities and program of the Czech EU presidency. The Czech EU presidency and the European Commission have called for an immediate resumption of Russian natural gas supplies to Europe following disruptions caused by a pricing and payment row between Russia and Ukraine. In a joint statement, they said the current state of affairs was completely unacceptable and that the EU would intensify dialogue with both sides in an effort to get the dispute resolved swiftly. The Czech Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek said a three-way summit between the EU, Russia and Ukraine might prove necessary if the crisis was not resolved soon. Several EU states have been affected by the disruptions, with the Czech Republic and Austria the hardest hit. Natural gas deliveries to the Czech Republic are expected to drop by as much as 75% on Tuesday, according to the country's biggest supplier, RWE Transgaz. European energy firms receive about a fifth of their gas via pipelines leading through Ukraine. Czech Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg, who is leading an EU fact-finding mission to the Middle East, says a ceasefire in the Gaza Strip may take a few days to arrange. Mr. Schwarzenberg said that on Monday he had managed to speak with all parties involved and that things were slowly being set in motion, though he said a ceasefire should not be expected today or tomorrow. He said that at the start of the mission that his immediate priorities were to arrange a ceasefire and get humanitarian aid into Gaza. Mr. Schwarzenberg is accompanied by the EU Foreign Policy Chief Javier Solana, EU External Relations Commissioner Benita Ferrero-Waldner, and the French Foreign Minister Bernard Kouchner. Meanwhile, French President Nicolas Sarkozy is on a separate mission in the Middle East and has been holding talks with leaders in Egypt, Israel, and the Israeli-occupied West Bank in a bid to secure a peace deal. At a news conference in Prague on Tuesday, the Czech Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek and Deputy Prime Minister for European Affairs Alexander Vondra presented the priorities and program of the Czech EU presidency. In addition to the crises which have recently emerged in the Middle East and over gas supplies from Russia, the country has longer-term goals which have been dubbed the three E's – economy, energy and external relations. Prime Minister Topolánek said it was now vitally important to minimize the impact of the economic crisis on the European market and work on a recovery plan for the economy. The Czech Republic also wants to open a debate on nuclear safety. The leadership of the Christian Democratic Party is trying to block the Prime Minister's attempt to dismiss party leader Jiří Čunek from the government. Mr. Čunek, who is Deputy Prime Minister and Regional Development Minister, was to have been one of several ministers replaced within a planned government reshuffle, but its announcement was put off after the leaders of the two smaller parties in the governing coalition asked for extra time to debate the proposed changes with their party leaderships. The leadership of the Christian Democrats has now backed its chairman, proposing that Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek, also of the Christian Democrats, should be replaced instead. The Prime Minister on Tuesday officially confirmed it had been his intention to replace Mr. Čunek, but his hands are now tied due to the government's shaky position in Parliament and the fact that the Czech Republic currently presides over the European Union. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The cold spell is expected to last for most of the week, with day temperatures dropping to minus 10 degrees Celsius and nighttime lows down to minus 20. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. I'm Jan Fellinger. Coming up in today's program, the Czech EU presidency outlines its priorities for the next 6 months. The Czech Republic is hit by a major drop in gas supplies from Russia.
There will always be some gas, but in the worst case is that we may have to cut some of the supplies to some of the large customers.
And learn how Czech patients will soon have a new electronic means of getting doctor's prescriptions. That and more is all ahead. The Czech EU presidency unveiled its priorities for the next 6 months at a packed press conference on Tuesday, a press conference that was dominated by the current crisis over gas supplies to the European Union. We'll have more on that in a moment, but first to those priorities. Rob Cameron was at the press conference in Prague and joins me now in the studio. So, Rob, what are they? What are these priorities?
Well, Jan, they are the three E's, the economy, energy, and the European Union in the world, united under the motto, Europe Without Barriers. Now, the Prime Minister, Mirek Topolánek, said that the slogan, Europe Without Barriers, was very relevant in these current times of economic turbulence. He spoke of the internal barriers in Europe that need to be removed, although he added that a Europe without barriers did not mean a Europe without rules and borders, saying that securing Europe's external border, for example, was a priority of the Czechs. Mr. Topolánek also stressed that the Czech Republic did have the support of the European Union, the support of the European Union's big countries and the small countries in the European Union in its agenda over the next 6 months.
Well, if we look in detail at those three E's that you mentioned, what more can you tell us?
Well, I'll give you a brief outline because there's a huge amount of information and detail on them. But basically, under the economy, the most important event for the Czech Republic is the forthcoming EU Council meeting in March. And it's up to the Czechs to negotiate a common EU strategy to tackling the financial crisis. The Deputy Prime Minister for Europe, Alexander Vondra, said that short-term measures to address that crisis were, of course, essential, but said that it would be a shame if they hampered the structural reforms that the European Union so badly needs. On energy, obviously, the security of Europe's energy supplies is paramount at the moment. The Czechs plan to organise something called a Southern Corridor Summit, which should lead to, if successful, increased supplies of oil and gas from the Caspian Sea in Central Asia as an alternative to relying so heavily on Russian gas. The last E, European Union in the world, the Czech Republic will be organising an Eastern Partnership summit of the EU27 and six states in Eastern Europe. The Czechs, of course, are particularly keen on rejuvenating Croatia's accession to the European Union. And they would also like to host the first meeting of the EU27 and the new president of the United States, Barack Obama.
Well, as you say, certainly a lot happening there. But I suppose that there's some risk that these priorities could be at risk, actually, of being overtaken by events happening now. I'm thinking, I guess, of Gaza or the current gas crisis.
Absolutely right. I mean, I think Gaza was, you know, a trial by fire for the Czech presidency of the European Union. Karel Schwarzenberg, the foreign minister, is still in the Middle East. They have a crucial role to play now as Russia turns off its gas supplies, or rather Ukraine limits the supplies of gas to Europe. It's not even the end of the first week of the presidency. So, you know, you can unveil these priorities and give them catchy titles like the three E's, but real events do have a tendency to move faster than plans and priorities, and the Czechs might find themselves preoccupied with something completely different in a few weeks or a few months' time. And there is, as one diplomatic source told me off the record, a fourth E, and that's embarrassment and the need to avoid it. The Czech presidency will be a success if it can avoid any major blunders. We've already had one with the rather unfortunate initial statements from the Czech presidency on Israel's ground offensive in Gaza, and Czech officials must ensure that there aren't any more to come.
And they certainly will be trying their best not to, as you say. Rob Cameron reporting. Thanks for that perspective. Now, you've heard there about the gas situation, and that, of course, at the core of that is Russia and Ukraine in a dispute amidst clashes over unpaid bills, full market values, and political enmities between the two. Europe, too, is beginning to feel the pinch. Now, the Czech Republic on Tuesday also reported a 75% drop in supplies from Russia. And Russia, of course, transits its gas through Ukraine on its way to Europe. So will Czechs now, too, begin to suffer? Well, Dominic Yuen has the details there. Gazprom, the Russian gas giant, has reduced gas supplies to Europe by 75%, according to Naftogaz, a Ukrainian company. In the Czech Republic, this has been confirmed by RWE Transgas, the country's largest gas provider. The precise reasons for the drop in supplies have not been determined, but many suspect that politics, specifically a multifaceted dispute between Russia and Ukraine, is to blame. In what has become an annual event in the last few years, Russia has accused Ukraine of not paying its bills and from benefiting from below-market rates for the gas it provides. The apparent solution? To cut off or reduce supplies until the situation is resolved. Russia has insisted that Europe will continue to get its gas, but now countries, including the Czech Republic, are getting worried. This is how an RWE Transgas representative, Martin Chalupski, announced the current situation in a press conference on Tuesday.
The situation that has caused us to invite you here to RWE Transgas is a serious one, because gas supplies from the east were, during the night, significantly reduced.
Mr. Chalupski also pointed out that the Czech Republic's secondary gas source from Norway has not been impacted.
Gas supplies from Norway are continuing to be sourced at the full capacity which we've agreed upon. This supply travels south from Norway, and we are using this supply to cover the needs of our customers. Further, this morning we also immediately began to source gas from our reserves. At this time, we're fully able to meet the needs of our customers across the Czech Republic.
So far, there have been no reductions in supplies to customers, and the company insists that it is doing its utmost to maintain supplies, relying on around 2 billion cubic meters of reserves, as well as the Norwegian supply of gas. But with current temperatures, meaning a demand of about 50 million cubic meters per day, the loss of supplies from Russia may soon begin to bite. Under ideal circumstances, the Czech Republic sources 70% of its supplies from Russia and only 30% from Norway. According to RWE Transgas, temperatures would have to consistently fall below minus 10 degrees Celsius for there to be serious concerns about gas supplies, should the current Russian drop in deliveries continue. And even without Norwegian gas, the company insists it can provide gas for 40 days. If the current situation continues, however, some reductions to customers have not been ruled out. I spoke with RWE board member Tomáš Vartzob, who assured me that ordinary Czechs remain unaffected by the drop in supplies.
At the moment, none of the customer is influenced in any way, so we are fulfilling all our contractual obligations and we are doing every single measures to do so. So there will always be some gas, but in the worst case is that we may have to cut some of the supplies to some of the large customers.
Meaning that heating for private homes, for example, will be the very last thing affected. On Wednesday, the Czech President Václav Klaus is set to meet with the Russian ambassador to the Czech Republic, Alexei Fedotov, to try to resolve the dispute. But the bigger picture, namely the conflict between Ukraine and Russia, may be far more difficult to solve.
Dominic Yoon reporting, and obviously no quick fix there. We turn to this story. People who need a prescription might soon be spared the nuisance of waiting at the doctor's for hours. The State Institute for Drug Control has launched a new service known as e-prescription that will enable Czech doctors to issue prescriptions via mobile phone, text message or email. This method is now being tested, and if everything goes according to plan, it should come into operation by the end of March. Ruth Frankova reports.
The e-prescription system is part of a new law on medicines that came into force at the end of 2007, and the State Institute for Drug Control has been entrusted by the Ministry of Health to put the new system into operation. How exactly is it going to work? Petra Kešková from the Institute for Drug Control outlines the technical details.
Nowadays, when you go to the doctor, you receive a paper prescription. In the case of e-prescriptions, doctors will send the prescription to an electronic database that will assign it with a special code. The doctors can either print it out or send it to the patient via an SMS or email. The pharmacist will then check the patient's identification code in the central database and issue the medication.
kopii toho receptu a vydá tomu člověku ty léčiva.
The system of electronic prescriptions is designed mainly for long-term prescriptions such as drugs for allergies or contraception, but doctors are allowed to prescribe virtually all types of medicines with the exception of narcotics. As long as the doctor doesn't need to see the patient, everything can be arranged over the phone. The doctor then sends the prescription to the central database by phone or email, and the patient goes straight to the pharmacy to pick it up. But e-prescriptions have not been designed only to make patients' lives easier. The health ministry also hopes to get a better idea of what kind of drugs are prescribed and prevent doctors from forging prescriptions. As for the new system, it has been equipped with control mechanisms to prevent people from abusing it. Petra Kešková again.
Pharmacies will be connected to the central database by a special router, which enciphers the information sent by the doctors to the central database, and doctors who send the prescription will also be required to use an electronic signature.
Ten recept bude muset být elektronicky podepsaný.
The central database was launched at the end of December 2008, and over the next 3 months, all pharmacies in the country should be provided with a special hardware that enciphers the information sent to the database.
Lékárny budou připojeny do konce března tohoto roku.
All pharmacies will have to be connected to the database by the end of March, and we expect doctors to gradually connect as well. The new law doesn't actually require them to use the new service, but we assume that patients will push them to use it.
Donutí vlastně tuhle tu službu poskytovat.
Some pharmacies in the Czech Republic have already started using the new system of e-prescriptions, and if everything goes well, Czechs should soon be able to pick up their medicines without a paper prescription virtually anywhere they want.
Ruth Franková reporting, and the address to visit is www.radio.cz, where you'll find all our latest stories and longer features in both sound and text. Well, now it's time for Talking Point, an edition which first aired last November. It's about how expecting Czech mothers want a greater say when it comes to childbirth. And the program is hosted by Ruth Franková.
The Czech Republic boasts one of the lowest rates of prenatal and natal mortalities in the world, yet paradoxically, criticism of Czech maternity hospitals is growing. Mothers complain that doctors regard childbirth as a strictly medical procedure, forgetting that it is first and foremost a natural process and as such should be directed by the mothers themselves. Some mothers who have previously given birth at maternity hospitals are so dissatisfied with the experience that they opt to bring their second child into the world at home with the help of a certified midwife. Zuzana Stromerová, a midwife and advocate of home births, explains why.
The problem is that the mothers, in fact, in Czech Republic do not have any free choice of the type of care they would like to have. And I'm speaking about the healthy mothers, because the Czech obstetric system is really designed for ill people, for mothers who have some sickness and who do not experience physiological pregnancy and birth. But they are in minority, and the majority of mothers are healthy women who can give birth without any intervention. And the problem is that the hospitals, because they are designed for treatments, do intervene a lot and do not listen to mothers who would like to have a birth as a natural experience, as a family experience and such.
What exactly do mothers who are not happy with the current hospital care demand?
They want to be explained everything that is going to happen with them in a way that they would understand. So not in Latin, but in a normal language that any mother would understand. Then they want to be also decision makers. So I'm a healthy person. So take me as a partner, not as a person who you manipulate with. So this is the other wish. Then they would wish to experience birth without interventions, unnecessary interventions, this would be exact. Then they wish to choose their birthing position. And then the strongest wish would be, don't take the baby from me. And this is quite a normal practice in Czech hospitals, that the pediatrician would come and would take the baby in another room and check the baby immediately after the birth, so the birthing process is interrupted.
Czech obstetricians admit that some interventions may be unnecessary, but argue that they are taken in order to reduce the risks during delivery. Michal Halaška is the head obstetrician at the Bulovka Hospital in Prague.
I started with my career in the 70s, and our oldest and biggest department of obstetrics and gynecology in Middle Europe, maybe in Europe, was first on the continent who applied observation of fetus, cardiotocography, in almost 100% of cases continuously. We were used to save the baby and the lady, or to deliver them in a good status. I admit it was connected with a lot of monitoring, which maybe it was not necessary. But on the other side, we lowered the rate of perinatal and maternal mortality several times.
Czech mothers do have a choice. Giving birth at home is not illegal. However, the Czech Association of Obstetricians and Gynecologists remains extremely critical towards home births, arguing that the risks involved are far too great to be undertaken.
Imagine the delivery is a process which is natural, but which can change into a major complication, threatening the lives of both mother and child. And the time reserve is, in some cases, seconds, sometimes minutes. And we cannot bring the lady from at home to the hospital on time.
According to Mr. Halaška, doctors can never say beforehand how the delivery will proceed, and unexpected complications can arise even in the case of healthy mothers. Can midwives cope with such an emergency? Zuzana Štromerová says they can.
The majority of complications that arise during normal births, natural births, announce themselves very well in advance. Only seldom it happens from second to second, really. I have experienced only one situation like that, or maybe two. But usually transportation to the hospital is the solution for the complication.
Despite the ongoing debate, Mrs. Štromerová admits that Czech hospitals have changed for the better over the years, allowing the mothers more freedom of choice. But she says these changes are not happening fast enough. One solution to the problem could be a compromise between home and hospital birth, an alternative birth center in the hospital led by midwives, something she has been striving for many years.
This would be the best solution, because if it would be in the hospital, not attended by the doctors, the midwives would provide care in a midwifery model of care, and they would really keep the birth normal. And in the same time, there will be no transportation necessary, because the normal hospital would be at a place. But the Czech system somehow is not able to build this type of care in the system.
The country is currently going through a baby boom, with the 1970s generation in their 30s. This generation of women is much better informed, and they are ready to assert their rights. Karolina Vančurová, a mother of three, says she started thinking about an alternative delivery because of the way doctors treated her when she even mentioned the idea of home birth. That's when she started to look for information.
Until then, I always had a sort of impression that giving birth is something scary, something dangerous, and something I'm, in the deepest sense, afraid of. So I started working on that fear, and working with it to get over it. And I started believing that delivery could not be something to be afraid of. And I decided that this is the way I want to go, that I don't want to arrive into the hospital at the time of giving birth and let the doctors direct me how to give birth. but that I want to observe myself and my body, and with the help of a birth assistant or a midwife, give birth to my child myself. And that became very important for me.
Incidentally, the midwife who assisted Karolina at her first delivery was Zuzana Stromerová. The birth did not proceed fast enough and they chose to go to the hospital in the end, where a healthy boy was born. With her next two kids, she decided to give birth in hospital. Does it mean that delivering her first child at home was not a good decision?
So I think that my decision to give birth at home, in that kind of atmosphere, in that kind of war between the doctors and the midwives, was not a good idea. But I'm sure now that there are things to change in the hospitals so that mothers who want to give birth naturally and have their own demands on how to give birth should be given the possibility.
This is something that many doctors and midwives agree on, but bringing it about may take years. For the present time, mothers-to-be have to do some investigative work and use the local grapevine to find out what sort of care is provided at what facility in order to make an optimal choice. However, with maternity wards currently bursting at the seams, they are often forced to compromise. Despite their feelings, only a tiny percentage of pregnant women opt for a home birth.
You've been listening to Talking Point, which first aired last November with Ruth Frankova, about what Czech mothers want concerning childbirth. Now, a quick reminder, if you'd like to contact us here at the station, it's easy to do so. Just write to Radio Prague, 12099 Prague 2, the Czech Republic. We're always looking forward to your comments and questions. I'm Jan Vellinger for all of us here at the station. Thank you so much for listening, and tune in again tomorrow.